guest line. Joining us now, Patriots radio broadcaster. You hear him every week right here on the station, 101.3 The Game. It's Bob Soucy. How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
I guess I'm doing great. I guess there's a new kicker in town right there, Bob, or what's going on?
Well, there are two new kickers in town. One on the active roster, the 53-man veteran Mike Nugent, and another on the practice squad, Younghoe Koo.
So what do you think of the move? I guess, what do you think of the Gostkowski news? Is that something that you had heard behind the scenes, or was that something that caught you by surprise yesterday?
Well, it had actually been speculated about on our flagship, on some of the sports talk shows. Generally, they're not unsourced, from some people saying, well, I had heard this or that. A couple of people associated with the team, one of them our headline guy, on the afternoon show. I think people had wondered about it aloud because of the inconsistencies that Gostkowski had experienced going back to the preseason, and then, of course, the struggles with the four missed extra points and a missed field goal in the first 4 weeks of the season. Certainly there was a play on Sunday in Buffalo after a kickoff where he made the tackle on Andre Roberts. And there was some concern just watching that and seeing how he was down on the ground and seemed to be down a little bit longer than usual. So I don't think it was any great surprise after the press conference, particularly with Belichick, that there was a move imminent. Gostkowski wasn't at practice. Bill met with the media on Wednesday. And, when he was asked about Gostkowski and bringing somebody in for competition, he said that, they hadn't signed anybody yet. We knew that there was a competition that was about to unfold, but that it was not for the sake of competition. That kind of gave you the idea that it was because they needed somebody to fill his spot and in a hurry.
Bob, in this what have you done for me world that is the NFL, I mean, Gostkowski, everybody's saying, oh, no problem, we'll just find another guy and he'll be just like Gostkowski. I couldn't disagree more. I mean, he has been a star on this team for a long time. And I would argue that the loss of Devlin and Gostkowski has gone under the radar, and it shouldn't. Those are two major losses.
Yeah, it's funny because the last several years, and sure, he's missed some kicks. He's missed some high-profile kicks in the postseason going back to the AFC Championship game in January of 2016 at Denver when he missed an extra point. And it has led to periodically calls for his job or at least for Belichick to bring somebody in for the sake of quote-unquote competition, again, to the question that Bill was asked on Wednesday. And every time I would hear people make an argument for either a replacement or at least to bring someone in, I'd always say, look, there's no sense in bringing anybody in who can't overtake him, who isn't better at the job, and you know that before you even bring that person in. And you look at the state of kicking around the National Football League. There are 32 teams. How many have reliably consistent kickers, let alone guys who can kick from 45 to 50 plus yards reliably? Justin Tucker in Baltimore is the best. And Gostkowski's right up there. He's the franchise's all-time leading scorer, one of the most accurate kickers in NFL history, and then the 12th leading scorer now in NFL history. But how many other guys are better than him? Even with his struggles at times. And again, it's not like they have been week after week after week like some guys. Last year, Chris Boswell for the Steelers, in the first year of a really lucrative contract, he missed 12 kicks.
Yeah.
12 kicks overall in the season. And the other part of it, too, is, and I think it speaks to the fortitude of Gostkowski and his mettle. Here's a guy that succeeded Adam Vinatieri, one of the great kickers of all time, and arguably the greatest clutch kicker of all time, a New England legend for what he did in the Snow Bowl, and then in Super Bowls 36 and 38. Gostkowski got off to a rough start coming out of Memphis as a rookie, and he was able to withstand that and prosper eventually and become a valued member of this team. And I know that the way the players speak about the kicker in New England, the way the head coach speaks about the kicker in New England, it's different than a lot of other places. He's part of the football team. He's been a football player, not a place kicker on a football team for the Patriots over the course of the last decade and a half. So it is a significant loss. And Mike Nugent, look at the resume. He's a veteran, 37 years old. He's been a lot of different places. He's had some success, but you look at the numbers from long range, you look at the numbers over the course of recent seasons, and then you compare them to Gostkowski. And, you know, a lot of people, again, that they got what they wished for, I guess, over the course of the last few years. And, you know, now hopefully the Patriots can get him in and it doesn't come back to hurt them in a crucial game down the stretch, not having Gostkowski.
Bob Soucy, Patriots radio broadcaster. You'll hear every game for the rest of the year right here on 101.3 The Game. He's got the call against Washington this Sunday at 1 p.m. He joins us every week. Thanks to New England Automotive, a great place now to get your tires changed over. I can't believe we're already talking about doing that and the snow's coming. Bob, the offensive performance against Buffalo, what'd you think? Were you worried by it at all?
You know, I think you got to look at a lot of different factors, you know, right now of this team. You look at the opponent too. Buffalo's had a great defense, and the Bills are a defense with a lot of continuity and experience. They played against the Patriots pretty much that entire unit the last couple of years under Sean McDermott, and they had given Tom Brady some problems, including last year late in the season. And his numbers against McDermott's defense is now in five games haven't been great. And then you look at the state of the Patriots' offense, the injuries and illness on the offensive line. Marshall Newhouse, left tackle, playing ill. He didn't practice one of the days during the week. He was limited another day. And again, he's a newcomer to this team, and already you're taking the left tackle position down a notch in terms of what your expectations are, even if he's fully healthy. And so that's part of it. I think the tight end situation, not having a healthy Matt Lacoste or an available Benjamin Watson the first four games, it's put Ryan Izzo on the spot. And not to disparage him, but he's not, It seems a blocker that, you know, has been able to have a consistently positive impact on this team in the run game. So the Patriots got nothing going in the run game with their offensive line, with the left tackle. Sonny Michel, again, outside of the first run of the day, bottled up by the Bills. You look at the receiver position, Julian Edelman playing with the chest injury. When Josh Gordon's been dealing with something. Brady, I think, felt pressure even when it wasn't necessarily there right from the start. Again, looking at the Bills' defense, mindful of Jerry Hughes and the Bills' ability to put pressure on the quarterback at times. Nothing was easy for him. There was nowhere to go the ball quickly because of the coverage of the Bills. They really do a very good job. In fact, that a lot of those Patriot pass routes, there were two receiver routes, or they were plays where, you know, Brady didn't line up with three wides, and at times, as we've seen in the past, four wides. So it was a case where they were really hamstrung offensively. Burkhead was playing with a foot injury as well. And you look at it, I thought going in it would be a low-scoring game. That was the conventional thought here. Maybe we didn't expect the offense to struggle to the extent to which it did, but all things considered, I think it's a good win. You come out of Buffalo with an ugly win. You got an opportunity now against Washington and the Giants, two games against, you know, two teams that, let's face it, they don't have great defenses, to say the least. In fact, the Redskins have really been terrible in every phase. The Giants, you know, last week turned the ball over against Washington a lot on defense, but you know, that may have a lot more to do with Dwayne Haskins, a rookie quarterback, not being ready and throwing three picks and 17 passes. And then you look at the quarterback situations for those teams and their offenses, and you've got the Redskins with any one of three guys that could be starting on Sunday. And if it's Colt McCoy, who probably gives the Redskins the best opportunity to be competitive in that game, well, he's coming off three surgeries on his right leg and hasn't played since December of last year. Mm. And then in the Giants' case, you got the rookie Daniel Jones, who's got to come into Foxborough a short week of preparation to try to beat the Patriots on a Thursday night. So I think they've got time. They get through these two games. Belichick is often referred to the weekend after the Thursday night game for the Pats. And he usually comes around this time of the year as kind of a mini-bye. And I think that's going to be really important. You have the trade deadline coming up. There's an opportunity to perhaps add a piece or two to help the offense, whether it's off the street, maybe a blocking tight end. Maybe there's a wide receiver or somebody out there who can come in and help this team. And then eventually you hope that they get somebody back or a couple of somebodies off injured reserve to help them as well.
You got an extra $72 million for Stephon Diggs hanging around?
Well, I suspect the Patriots can probably scrounge up that amount, but can they fit it under their cap?
Yeah.
You know, the dreaded salary cap, and you know, what would the price be? They've got a great relationship with Rick Spielman. Belichick and Spielman have done a number of deals in the past, including several years ago when the Patriots traded their number one pick to Minnesota and got a slew of picks in the 2013 draft. Mm. So I think there's a good relationship there. You know, Diggs is a very talented receiver. You know, the Vikings are in a situation where they have two of the best receivers in the NFC, but they don't have a quarterback who's playing up to the standards that his contract calls for. And they've got a head coach who doesn't trust him, it seems, and they want to run the ball. And so you've got a frustrated Diggs. I know today he was asked about the rumors, and he said, well, there's truth in all the rumors, even though the Vikings, through the media channels, the so-called insiders, have maintained that they're not looking to trade him. But, you know, that's obviously the most attractive name that the people are talking about. There may be some other guys that we're not necessarily talking about today that become available in the next couple of weeks. I think it's more likely that they probably go out and they get a tight end or someone who's more of a blocker. Somebody can help them in a below-the-radar way and again, try to get some guys to restore their health, heal up a bit. And I think Jacoby Myers is a guy who bears watching these next couple of weeks. Going against the defenses that they're going to face, you know, the Redskins had a lot of trouble stopping slot receivers. Well, maybe we see Jacoby Myers in this game line up a bit in the slot and get more reps than just the four plays he had against the Buffalo Bills and try to get him on track. When Malcolm Mitchell was a rookie in 2016, the first half of the season, I think in his first eight games played, he only had about one catch per game. And then it was around week 10 where he really emerged. He had a great game against the Jets. He scored two touchdowns against New York, including the game winner, when he was covered by Darrell Revis in the Meadowlands. And so I look back at the Malcolm Mitchell experience, and I think, you know, don't write off Jacoby Myers yet. This is a guy who despite the lack of chemistry, it seems, between him and Brady in their limited time together, you know, has a lot of time and will have ample opportunity to make an impact.
Bob, what about the chatter between Mike Florio and Kyle Van Noy? I mean, you're around the team, obviously. Do you know Kyle Van Noy real well, and what do you make of all this?
Yeah, you know, Kyle's an interesting guy. He's funny, and I asked him yesterday about. I was in on the scrum. I didn't ask him the question about Florio, but for your listeners, I'm sure you guys have chatted about it. I was listening to Zolak and Bertrand, our midday show on the flagship here in Boston, and when Kyle was asked about it, and I caught me by surprise too. They didn't want to be compared to Rodney Harrison, and you know, my first thought was, you know, Kyle's a guy that. Speaking of radars, he's a guy that his antenna is very receptive to what's being said about the team. And, you know, Rodney at times can be very critical. And Zolak and Bertrand later played a soundbite from Rodney on Sunday Night Football criticizing the Detroit Lions, and Van Noy was with the Lions and really calling out the team and what he perceived as kind of a lack of character for not coming to the defense of quarterback Matthew Stafford. Now, I don't know that's part of why Van Noy didn't want to be compared to Rodney Harrison. That's what was speculated about, or that was one of the theories or hypotheses that was floated by Zolak and Bertrand. Yeah, I wondered myself, again, has Rodney been critical of the Patriots' defense over the course of the last couple of years? And I think there have been times that he's been very critical of the Patriots. I'm sure after the Tennessee game last year, asked about New England. Or the Miami game, or the Pittsburgh game, you know, there might have been some. That's his job. He's an analyst. He's a great Patriot. He's a Hall of Fame Patriot. He's, you know, one of the great. I think you could. He's a safety. He certainly merits consideration, strong consideration for Canton and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now that he's in the Patriots Hall of Fame, and I think what Kyle Van Noy tried to say in the locker room afterwards is, look, I don't want to be compared to anybody. Yeah, he's a safety. I'm a linebacker. And then on social media later, she's going to compare me to someone, compare me to another linebacker. And I wondered, too, at the time, I don't know if the reference to Rodney Harrison was lost on Kyle Van Noy, because it was a reference to Rodney's knack for seizing on any perceived slight, or even if there wasn't one there, conjuring up the mindset that, or the outside view of the Patriots is the Patriots, you know, being the underdogs and the Patriots not expected to win. And it was in particular after an AFC championship game against the one-loss Steelers team when the Pats were on the road and they were the favorite in the game. And yet afterwards, Rodney said, you didn't think we could do it. Nobody thought we could win it. And so I think that's what Mark Bertrand was referring to, because Kyle had made some comments after the game on Sunday about something that Deion Dawkins of the Bills had said. And I don't know if Kyle was exactly where of Rodney's history when it came to seizing on the bulletin board material and really playing it up, that might have been lost on him. Maybe he thought he was being compared to him as a player. Maybe, again, and maybe there were a lot of other things that were involved in it. But I got to say, and I've been prattling away here, he didn't say anything disparaging about Rodney Harrison. And try to make it clear on social media later that he had a lot of respect for Rodney Harrison. Mike Florio really went after Kyle Van Noy,
yeah,
his character, by saying you ought to be on your knees, and I'm going to paraphrase here, and pray that you're half the man Rodney Harrison is. And Florio was on our midday show today talking to Zolak and Bertrand, and he may have even used the word vitriol. To talk about, in describing what he thought Van Noy, what Van Noy's intention in going after Rodney Harrison. I didn't sense that at all. Kyle's a really good-natured guy. One of the things that I've found interesting, and I asked him about yesterday, when he joined the Patriots a couple years ago after being traded for the Lions, he was kind of in a shell. He was very, very quiet that first day and very guarded. He'd been traded. Things hadn't gone well in Detroit on the field. He'd been hurt a bit. Kind of fell out of favor in a different scheme. Came over to the Patriots and didn't say very much. And then over the course of the last couple of years, his personality has started to really flourish, and he's had a real growth in terms of his game on the field here, obviously becoming one of the best players on this team. And I think he was the postseason MVP last year, and it's continued. I think he and Jamie Collins have been the two best defenders on the Patriots this season. But along with that, his personality has blossomed. And he's on Zolak and Bertrand as a regular guest, and he's somebody who's very active on social media. So I think it's been really interesting. He's also the Ron Burton Community Service Award, and that's an award that's revered among the Patriots themselves. And this is an organization who has a lot of players who go out and do a lot of work in the community. Kyle Van Noy was recognized this year as the one who did, if not more than anybody else, then made as much of an impact as anybody else in the community. He was an adopted child, adopted by a family, like his wife. They've done a lot of work in particular to try to give back to the community here and targeting the community of foster children in New England and trying to make things better for a lot of the kids in foster care. So he's really a bright guy. He's a very funny guy, a great personality. And Mike Florio, I thought, went somewhere that really Kyle Van Noy did not. And, I find it interesting that he went after him personally, as opposed to, professionally as a football player. Went after him as a man.
Wow.
That was, I thought, uncalled for.
Yeah. He's Bob Soucy, Patriots radio broadcaster. Bob, have a great time in calling the game this week against Washington, and we'll speak to you next week.
Guys, thanks.